This is DW News live from Berlin. German authorities foil an alleged plot to storm parliament and overthrow the government. In the biggest anti-terror operation in decades, police arrest 25 suspected members of a far-right group. Germany's top prosecutor says the suspects intended to use force to install a minor aristocrat as the country's new leader. Also coming up. Russian President Vladimir Putin admits the war in Ukraine could be a, quote, long-term process, but rules out calling up more troops for now. I'm Nicole Fröhlich. It's good to have you with us. German authorities have foiled an alleged plot that aimed to topple the government in Berlin by force. Dozens of arrests were made in overnight raids that spanned the nation, extended to Austria and Italy. They targeted suspected supporters of a far-right movement that rejects the legitimacy of the current German state. The country's top federal prosecutor said the alleged coup plotters intended to form a new German army and install a minor aristocrat as the country's leader.
It is the biggest anti-terrorism raid in Germany for many years. On Wednesday morning, some 3,000 police raided more than 100 properties in several German states and arrested 25 people, all of them suspected members or supporters of the so-called Reichsbürger movement. Their goal, a coup d'état in Germany. They wanted to overthrow democracy.
The arrested suspects are united by their rejection of state institutions in Germany. The arrested suspects believe in conspiracy myths consisting of different narratives from the Reichsbürger ideology as well as the QAnon ideology.
The network was made up of both a political and a military group, according to German authorities. They had planned to invade the German Bundestag and use violence. Germany's Interior Minister, Nancy Faeser, said the investigations provided a glimpse into the, quote, abyss of a terrorist threat from the Reichsbürger milieu.
Who wouldn't agree on a day like today, where there's one of the biggest raids against far-right efforts aimed at attacking our state, that polarization is on the rise and we have to defend our democracy every single day? If they had succeeded, this man was to become the new head of state. Heinrich Reuss, a descendant of an aristocratic family from eastern Germany, who still uses the symbolic title of Prince Heinrich XIII. The entrepreneur from Frankfurt is said to be the ringleader. She would have been installed as the new justice minister, Birgit Malzack-Winkemann, who was a member of the German parliament for the far-right Alternative for Germany party until last year. She has since resumed working as a judge at a Berlin court. Efforts to remove her from her position because of her involvement with far-right extremists failed earlier this year. But the court confirmed that she was released from her duties on Wednesday. The Reichsbürger, a far-right extremist, deeply anti-democratic movement. Its members reject the German state and its democratic system and are prone to violence. German authorities estimate that the scene consists of some 20,000 people. Between 2015 and mid-2017 alone, more than 10,500 crimes are said to have been committed by so-called Reichsbürger.
Earlier, DW political correspondent Benjamin Anvers Gruber told us more about how real the threat to overthrow the German parliament really was.
It was definitely a big threat, and that's also what authorities said today. This group started meeting back in November of last year. They had regular meetings, and as we just heard in the report, there was a political arm, and there was also one in charge of weapons, in charge of also getting people from security forces, from the police, to go together with this plan to overthrow the government. And it goes that way that they even went into Bundeswehr barracks to see where their own soldiers would be based. So it's pretty concrete, the plans that they had already. And as we also saw in the report, that they had individuals who would take then these positions as head of this new government or as a justice minister. So that's also something that authorities repeated today by saying that the threat was real. And if we look back how this investigation started, It was indeed the connection between this group of the people that were arrested and another group that wanted to kidnap Germany's health minister, Karl Lauterbach. So that's where this investigation started and where that ended, also with all the raids in several German cities today. It detaining these 25 people that will now face justice.
How have politicians and the authorities reacted to the news?
So there have been two reactions. On one side, praising the police officers that were involved in the raids, and also the domestic intelligence services that also conducted all the investigation over the past months. This is a pretty long process. And on the other side, they're also showing how deep this goes into the problems that we have seen, and that many are saying that German authorities have a blind eye on right-wing extremism. One of those who reacted is German President Frank-Walter Steinmeier, who said, "This incident represents a new level in the extremist threat," something similar that government spokesperson Steffen Hebestreit said, that it's extremely dangerous, pointing out the plans that you also mentioned of attacking and of this armed assault on the Bundestag, of the lower house of Germany's parliament.
Let's talk about these accusations of turning a blind eye toward far-right extremism and the possibility and the growing threat of political violence. What more can you tell us about that?
There have been some attacks in the past years. There have been a murder of a conservative politician, of Walter Lübcke, another far-right extremist that also did an attack on a synagogue. And what domestic intelligence services have been accused on is having a blind eye when it comes to right-wing extremism, but therefore focusing on Islamists and also on left-wing extremism. And that's something that the former German Interior Minister Horst Seehofer said, saying that there has been an increase of cases and they should take this more seriously. And what many are asking the government to do and asking the intelligence service is not looking at just lone people who want to commit these attacks, but also when there's a structural problem, when we look at police officers and when we look also at the armed forces. And that's a big problem of this Reichsbürger movement, that many of those who are in this group, who are in this right-wing extremist group, that do not accept Germany, the German order and the constitution, also know how to deal with weapons and have also access to classified information. And that's why many see that this Reichsbürger movement is especially so dangerous and are taking this threats and also this rates very, very carefully.
DW political correspondent Benjamin Alvarez Gruba, thank you. Let's take a look now at some other stories making headlines around the world today. Peru's President Pedro Castillo has been detained by security forces, according to the national police. His detention comes after he announced he would dissolve Congress and install an emergency government. But the Congress rejected the decree and voted to replace him with the vice president, Dina Boluarte, who has just been sworn in. Spanish officials say 28 migrants fled a plane in Barcelona when it made an emergency landing after a pregnant woman apparently pretended to go into labor. The plane had been flying from Morocco to Turkey. Police say they detained half of the migrants and eight will be deported back to Morocco. Protesters across Iran have taken to the streets again to demand regime change. At the same time, workers and shopkeepers continue their strike for a third day. Rights groups say the regime's forces have killed hundreds of people since the protest for regime change began in September, after a young woman died after being detained by the morality police. Time magazine has named Volodymyr Zelensky and the Spirit of Ukraine its Person of the Year. The magazine said it was honoring the Ukrainian president for his role in leading his country's resistance against Russia's invasion. Zelensky has also received the Madeleine Albright Democracy Award for his commitment to defending human rights. Russia's Vladimir Putin has acknowledged that his country's war on Ukraine could turn into, quote, a long-term process. The president was defending the war to his personal Human Rights Council after the Ukrainian military carried out a series of armed drone attacks, allegedly against targets deep inside Russia. Putin went on to say that he would not mobilize additional combat troops for now, despite setbacks on the battlefield.
Like many parts of eastern Ukraine, this farmer's field is now a battlefield. Despite recent gains by Kiev, soldiers say an influx of Russian reinforcements is halting their advance.
The enemy has become very active. Their attacks have intensified. Their aviation is more active. There are continuous air intelligence missions. Our positions were shelled all day yesterday. Their unmanned aerial devices were in the air all day.
In nearby villages, people have been living without heat, electricity and water since the start of the war, more than 9 months ago. Many still get chills every time a missile strikes.
Sometimes it's really bad. Sometimes it's so scary, the whole house is shaking.
It appears her village will remain a war zone for many months to come. In an address to his Human Rights Council, Vladimir Putin warned of a long conflict in Ukraine.
For our part, there can only be one response: fighting consistently for our national interests. And so, we'll be doing exactly this. Nobody should ever count on anything else.
While Russian troops continue their war, Ukraine is gathering evidence, including thousands of munitions. Experts hope they may one day be used to help bring the Russian leader to justice.
Hansi Flick will remain as Germany coach despite their second straight exit from the World Cup during the group stage. Flick had met with football association bosses on Wednesday in order to assess what went wrong at the World Cup in Qatar. The pressure will now be on the coach to turn around Germany's fortunes for the 2024 Euros, which the country will host itself. The team's technical director, Oliver Bierhoff, had already been fired in the wake of the early World Cup exit. Now, neither the Israelis nor the Palestinians fielded teams at the 2022 World Cup, but the Israeli-Palestinian conflict has found echoes on the ground in Qatar. Many Arab supporters and fans are taking the chance to show their solidarity with the Palestinian cause. Meanwhile, some Israeli visitors to the tournament have occasionally found themselves being made to feel unwelcome on the basis of their nationality.
Only Palestine!
No, this is Israel!
No, Palestine!
Videos on social media show people refusing to talk to Israeli journalists covering the Qatar World Cup.
Our job is challenging. We deal with some hate from the Arab fans here when our people, you know, our crew members, they want to go live on TV. Sometimes they are not attacked, but people go around them and shout Free Palestine with Palestine flags.
Many fans in Qatar have shown their support for the Palestinian cause. And on Wednesday, Moroccan players became the latest to do the same after their famous victory over Spain. Meanwhile, a number of Israelis have found the reception from some Arab supporters unwelcoming. It's the first time Israelis are in Qatar in numbers, with direct flights connecting Tel Aviv to Doha. But Qatar is not one of the six Arab countries that maintain formal relations with Israel.
Many people in Israel say it's this World Cup is full of hate. There is this, if you want to say, veil of ignorance. People don't know each other, only from the media, and they think all Israelis are bad or all Arabs are bad. And, you know, the situation is much more complicated. The best cure for hate is always getting together, get to know each other, speak to one another. I think this is the key. Now, things will not get solved during a one-month World Cup, but maybe getting to know better the other side, understanding, listening, that's what's important.
As ever at this tournament, the confluence of cultures has produced moments of harmony and understanding. But 2022's competition was shot through with political tensions long before it began. And a microcosm of global discord was perhaps always another inevitability at Qatar's World Cup.
And before we go, here's a quick reminder of the top story we're following for you today. German police have arrested dozens of suspected members of a far-right group in connection with a plot to overthrow the state by force. The country's top federal prosecutor says the group intended to install an aristocrat as national leader and form a new German army. And with that, you're up to date. Stay tuned for the business news with Rob Watts. He'll have the latest on the economic impact of China easing its COVID restrictions. I'm Nicole Frilly. For me and the entire team here in Berlin, thank you so much for watching.